Welcome to the Canon Cast, a weekly podcast from the Canon, an SB Nation blog covering the Columbus Blue Jackets. I am Will Chase, joined by Pale Dragon. What's up, PD? You ready for the Browns game today?
I am ready for football, yes. Very excited for the Browns. Not excited to face the Chiefs week one, but I am excited for the season, yeah.
Yeah, we are recording on Sunday, so this game is already over, but that's definitely one of the better matchups, I think, on Sunday. Lots of good games today, but yeah, it's exciting to have football back. Very exciting to have hockey back as developmental camp started yesterday and will continue today. Mike Eaves, the Cleveland Monsters coach, will be coaching the Blue Jackets squad, and this team has won the title five times, so very exciting to have hockey back. I'm looking at guys like Cole Sillinger to make an impact because we know that he is hoping to make that impact. And even a guy like Aaron Portsline, as we talked about, thinks that he will make his debut with the Blue Jackets this upcoming season at some point. We'll see. But lots of names, we'll get more into the roster. But what's on your mind as the developmental camp gets started? And what are you maybe looking at or maybe specific players that you are hoping to see a real positive impact?
You're right that this really is the first sign that hockey's back. You know, the Traverse City tournament is called always sort of the unofficial kickoff of the hockey preseason. It obviously didn't happen last year. I'm looking forward to it again. Hopefully there's going to be some sort of site where you can stream the games just to see a lot of these guys in action that, you know, we haven't really gotten a chance to see. These draft picks over the last 2 years who've been playing over in Europe or whose, you know, junior season got cut short last year. So it's the first sign that, okay, the season's coming up. So that's one thing. And yeah, just in general, yeah, I'm excited to see a lot of these drafted players, especially Chinakov and Sillinger as, you know, first round picks. I would really like to see them play together just to see if their skill sets match. And maybe there's a chance they could play together this year in either Cleveland or Columbus. That'd be exciting to see. Tyler Engel, I'd like to get a longer look at because he had such a great first season in Cleveland last year. Let's see if he can continue putting up the points, you know, against prospects of a similar age. Ditto for Carson Meyer. You know, on defense, Ola Bergholm, you know, he's a guy I think the team's high on. So I'd like to get a look at him. Sposal, you know, who we talked about as a guy who I was really surprised the Jackets were able to pick up in the third round. And he's going to be coming over to play in Canadian juniors this year. So this will be a introduction to North American ice for him. And Tim Burney, I think, is a guy that we've kind of forgotten about. But he's a Swiss defenseman who was supposed to come over last year and join the Monsters. But due to uncertainty, due to the schedule, due to COVID, he went ahead and stayed over in Switzerland for an extra year. But hopefully this is a sign that, all right, he's going to come over here. And he's going to start his North American career now with the Jackets, and we'll see what he adds to the defensive pipeline. And I'm also excited that, yeah, with Mike Eaves coaching the team, I think he's a really good coach. He's a really good developmental coach. So I think this week, these young players are just, they're going to learn a lot from him.
Yeah, good opportunity for Eaves and the players to, like you said, get back to a camp that they weren't able to be at last year. Also, goaltender Daniel Tarasov just received his COVID-19 vaccination, so he has not been cleared to participate in the developmental camp yet. However, he could make an appearance before the conclusion of the tournament, which is happening throughout the rest of this week. So hopefully he'll be able to make an appearance before things conclude.
Yeah, I hope that he does, because, you know, the goaltenders that we've got on the development camp roster are, you know, not guys under contract. They're just ones that the team brought in to get a look at. Now, it'd be nice if one of those guys impressed to the point where the Jackets could sign them and maybe send them down to the ECHL. You know, the Jackets have a new agreement with the Kalamazoo Wings, and it would be nice just to have another body in the pipeline in case, you know, because a goalie might get hurt along the way this year, or, you know, might be a trade at some point. So, you know, we're currently only four deep on the goalie pipeline. So there's a chance to add another young one. That would be a good thing. But I do hope that Tarasov gets to play a game or two in Traverse City. Cause I think that's the one weak point as I look at the roster is I don't see a, you know, kind of a game changing or game stealing goaltender. But I do see enough offensive talent and defensive talent that this team should be able to stack up really well against the other teams there.
Yeah, looking at the roster, and you know, there's obviously guys we've talked about, like a Cole Sullinger or Carson Meyer, like you just mentioned, or Yegor Chinnikov. But then I'm looking at other guys, like you mentioned, that may not be under contract, or they're just trying to get a look at them. Do you think that there might be maybe a dark horse, like a Carson Meyer that we kind of talked about before, maybe trying to make an impact now, or a guy that you would never would have expected to impress, and then he ends up making an impression so that the Jackets might actually look at him as a guy in their, whether it's their NHL or more specifically, probably in the Cleveland plans?
Yeah, I do think it'd be more likely that it's someone that would get a chance to play for the Monsters this year. And I do think that this, you know, the Jackets at this point should have an open mind because this is a rebuild phase. So anyone that can stand out that, you know, could maybe help this team long term, you know, if it's worth it to take a flyer on a guy to bring him in the organization and develop him in Cleveland for a bit, that'd be great. You know, in terms of the maybe the lesser known ones, I'm looking at some of the late round draft picks from this year, like Ben Boyd, James Malatesta, Martin Rysavy. Curious to see how those guys stack up because, you know, I don't feel like any of them were super highly rated going into the draft. They're definitely kind of long-term projects that the Jackets had acquired. So I'm curious to see if any of them maybe give an indication that they're ahead of schedule. Not that I expect them to contribute much this year on a professional level, but show us something that makes them worth following for the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it'll be exciting to see. You know, it's kind of like the unofficial start of hockey now. Preseason is just around the corner as well. I know that's starting up in the next, few weeks or so.
Yeah, this is kind of snuck up on me, but as I'm putting together, you know, their schedule of content going up over the next month, and yeah, you know, we've got Traverse City coming up this week and weekend, and then we're less than two after that, then we're, you know, less than 2 weeks away from training camp, or just a week away from training camp. That starts up on the 22nd or whatever, and then the first preseason game is on the 27th. And it's like, oh, that's, you know, that's just not that far away. And then, you know, as of this week, we'll be just a month away from opening night on October 14th. So this is, the season is here, really. And I'm really pumped up for it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Me too. Very exciting. It feels normal now that, again, developmental camp is underway, and we're going to have a full season. It looks like, I mean, that is the plan, to have a full season, of course. So definitely good times ahead. And yeah, looking at just the roster again real fast, it would be nice to see a guy like Carson Meyer. You know, he's a story that's worth rooting for, amongst other guys, of course, but we know what he's been through. And so it would be cool to see him make an impact. And who knows, maybe a guy sticks and becomes that unsung hero, so to speak, for this team or this organization. And you mentioned the ECHL. I think it's interesting too that, I mean, I think it's good that they have the ECHL now, because I don't know what the dynamics necessarily, how that really works between the parent club and the minor league sometimes, and the whether it's the expenses or how they kind of their philosophy. But I think it's only a good thing to have another minor league tier to kind of work with and maybe develop guys in. So I think it can only be a good thing. Hopefully we see that kind of, the way that translates, that can only help this team going forward.
Yeah, it is interesting that they formed an affiliation again. I have always found it weird there have not been, that not every team has an ECHL affiliate like they do an AHL affiliate. I'd like to see teams take more advantage of the ECHL to park prospects there, especially guys that would benefit from getting minutes, and that spot's just not available in the AHL. And in recent years, I mean, the Jackets still have sent guys down, but just kind of on an informal basis to, you know, a couple different teams that they've sent guys to, depending on where the spots are. But yeah, it's nice having a set affiliate that they could send guys down to, and get with all the players that they've been signing to ELCs. You know, I think there's going to be more players than there are spots for them on a North American professional team. So adding that third spot is helpful there. And just in general, I feel like that's a league-wide thing. I'd like to see them make more use of the ECHL. You know, I think it has a reputation now still of having that kind of old school goon type hockey, and so maybe not an ideal place for a 19 or 20 year old trying to break into to the game. But I'd prefer to see it change and get rid of those over the hill veteran types that are still in that, or the guys that are never going to make it, instead put promising young talent in there as a true developmental league, more under the control of the NHL. So a more formal system like we see in baseball, basically.
Yeah, I was just about to say, there's so many minor league tiers in baseball. And like, for instance, when there was the New York Penn League, some teams utilized that league, some did not. So it's a good comp. So to kind of finish up on our top 25 under 25, we'll start with Kent Johnson. He's going to be playing in Michigan, University of Michigan, this upcoming season. But a guy that could be that one of those centers for the Blue Jackets, one of those coveted centers that we've always needed. So I'm excited to see how he continues to develop and hopefully flourish this season.
Yeah, so I think it's worth noting that on this ranking, that he's the highest ranked player who is not currently an NHLer. The four guys above him are all established NHL players at this point. And he has not played pro hockey yet, but the fact that he ranked this high, I think, speaks to how highly the fans view him. And I think just the team views him highly around the league. He's considered a very high ceiling prospect and one of the best ones now in the Blue Jackets organization. I do think the ceiling is very, very high for him. I think he possesses some elite skills. There may still be some question marks about his game, as there are with any prospect, but you know, I think there's a very high chance of him becoming a very, very good player for us. I think going back to Michigan is a good move for him, because that Michigan is just going to be absolutely stacked this year. A ridiculous number of first-round draft picks this year. Either we're on Michigan last year or going to be joining Michigan this year. And all the guys that were good on the team last year are coming back. Their season, unfortunately, got cut short by COVID, so they weren't able to compete in the postseason. But I think they're all motivated to come back and win it this year. And as much as I'm loath to root for Michigan to have success in any sport, I am, of course, I do have to root for Kent Johnson to have some success himself. It means I'm going to be watching a lot more college hockey this year, because I want to see what he's doing at Michigan, and I know that Big Ten Network carries Big Ten hockey games. And Corson Coulomans as well is going to be going to Wisconsin. So both those guys will get to play in Columbus this year when they come play Ohio State. So I'm going to be checking out those games for sure if I can. The big question I have for Johnson this season is, will he play center or will he play wing? I think coming into the draft, most people saw him long-term as a center. I think the Jackets view him as a center. But last year, he played mostly on the wing. And his center was Matty Beniers, who, of course, was the number two overall pick to Seattle and a great player in his own right. So as I was watching, you know, highlight videos that like had all the points that Johnson scored last year, Beniers was a big part of a lot of those as well. So I'd kind of like to see that line get broken up this year to let Johnson carry his own line. Move him back to center so he can work on playing the center position and see what he can do with some other. Now, he'll probably still have some highly talented line mates, but not necessarily other top five pick line mates like he had last year, just to see what he can do on his own. But man, I'm excited when I watch his highlight videos. He reminds me a lot of Ryan Johansson with the way that he handles the puck and can, you know, has good hands. Good stick, positions his body well. He's got a big frame. He needs to fill out a bit, like, you know, any 18-year-old would need to do. So, but I think in just a couple of years, he'll be able to have a big, big impact for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and then Adam Boqvist, he came over from the Blackhawks in that Seth Jones trade. And as you mentioned, Chicago's loss is Columbus's gain. And I think Boqvist could definitely... I'm not going to say that he's going to be Seth Jones, or at least right away. However, as we talked about Seth Jones, he's as good as he can be probably in his prime right now, but we started to see a little bit of regression for whatever reason. Boqvist is young. He's a prospect. or, you know, still in that prospect phase as he continues to blossom. But let's say in a couple of years, he really takes that next step like we hope. That could really look good for Columbus, of course. And so Boqvist has a shot this season to really stick out, and it's an opportunity for him to really, you know, plant himself within that lineup.
Yeah, for sure. So I wrote the article about Boqvist, and for it, I reached out to Dave Melton at Second City Hockey, which is SB Nation's Blackhawks blog. And he gave me some really good analysis of Boqvist's game so far. And he seemed very, very high on Boqvist as a player. You know, there's still some room for growth in terms of the physical side of the game and some of the defensive side of the game. But he also pointed out some instances of him starting to develop good defensive instincts and positioning and game awareness and things like that. But it sounds like what he is already very good at is offensive skill, that he can shoot, he can score, he can pass. He's good at carrying the puck up ice. All things that I think are going to help us immediately. He was, he was quarterbacking the first power play for Chicago. So I would imagine that he and Werenski will be the power play quarterbacks this year for the Jackets. And, you know, I think the Jackets are going to be looking to add new talent as a way to fix what was wrong with the power play. And so if anything is going to help it, I think Boqvist will be part of that. So yeah, he's just, I think, a really promising young defenseman. Now, I don't see him being paired with Werenski. I think they're too similar in terms of being offense first. But I think if you put Boqvist with, say, Gavrikov, so Gavrikov can cover him defensively and physically, but let Boqvist, you know, kind of play that rover role like Werenski played in his early years. And I think that that could be something really useful for the Jackets. I think, you know, for all the talk about, you know, how can we generate more offense, a lot of that offense is going to come from the blue line this year because we've added guys like Boqvist and Bean, and we already have Werenski who create offense from the defenseman position.
So our next player was Jack Roslovic, the Ohio hometown kid. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, he was, of course, added in that Patrick Laine for Pierre-Luc Dubois trade. Roslovic really surprised all of us with his production. And so, you know, we kind of all maybe thought, yeah, Laine is the star in this trade. Yeah, Roslovic might be a nice throw-in, but he ended up kind of looking like the better of the two in that trade. So interesting to see how Roslovic does in a full season for Columbus this year. Again, another guy who has a shot to only take this opportunity and see where he can go with it for this team. He's kind of quote-unquote amongst like the leaders of this team, I guess, in terms of NHL experience.
Yeah, I would say not only did he have a better season than Laine, I think he had a better season than Dubois as well, who had his struggles in Winnipeg. So Roslovic is the only guy that came into his new team and seemed comfortable and was able to be consistently productive. Now, you know, I wonder if that is somewhat a factor of being in a city where he was already comfortable and he already knew maybe some of the players from skating with them over the summer and things like that, whereas Laine and Dubois were getting used to, you know, new cities and new teammates and you know, with the COVID protocols limiting how they could socialize and all that, whereas Roslovic still had his family here and things like that. But for whatever reason, he was comfortable and he was productive, probably even more productive than I expected. You know, he put up more points this season than he had in any other season, despite the fact that he played less than 50 games this year. So that's not just on a point per game basis, that's just raw points. He was better than he had been because this was the first time that he had really gotten a chance to play top 6 minutes, and he made the most of it. You know, he was at nearly a 60-point clip over an 82-game season. So if he can build on that, and even just to be a 60-point player again next year would be huge. I love his speed. I love that he's not afraid to shoot the puck. You know, for nothing else, he is an offensive spark. Now, defensively, that definitely a work in progress. He needs to do a lot of work defensively still. But hopefully that's something he's worked on this offseason. That's still a source of growth for him. But I don't think we need to let that limit him. I think it's a matter of take what he does well and play to those strengths. So give him a lot more offensive zone starts, for example. you know, sort of shelter him in that way. But let's not lose sight of the fact of, hey, this guy's got offensive skill. Let's make the most of it. So, you know, and then there's I think a big question of, if we assume that Laine and Voracek play together, who's the center that goes with them? And I don't know that it's Roslovic. I mean, I think he is the best center that we have on the roster this year, but I don't necessarily put him on that line, even if that's our quote unquote top line. Cause I feel like that's maybe too much offense and too little defense on that line. I think maybe put Roslovic with, say, Nyquist and Bjorkstrand, because those guys can pass to set up Roslovic, who's maybe more of a shooter than a passer. They can also cover him somewhat defensively. But I think that might be a better mix of skill sets with Roslovic than having him have to maybe play away from his strengths to support Laine and Voracek.
And then at some point, Max Domi would return from injury, and then you'll figure out where he might fit or slot in with certain right. guys on in the lineup as well. So interesting pieces. But so the other guy was Patrick Laine, of course. The you know, the trade, it seemed like a win-win on paper for both teams, and it still might end up being that way. But this is a huge year for Laine and the Blue Jackets, because Laine is looking for a bounce back. So Laine, he'll be an RFA at the end of the season, but, you know, we're looking to see if he can find a consistency in his game. Now, of course, last year, the trade from Winnipeg, COVID, so much going on, but still, this is kind of like the chance for him to either prove himself long-term for Columbus or right. at least see if he can have a good season if they have to move him at the deadline, for instance. You can see what you can get for him. But it could be a huge building block one way or the other for the Jackets. But you mentioned Voracek. Hopefully that gets him going. Hopefully Laine, like we've seen the glimpses of his superstar talent, like that goal against the Blackhawks, that end-to-end play. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can put it all together, get off to a good start. Yeah, I mean, that a lot of eyes are definitely going to be on Laine.
Yeah, I think he's probably that's the number one question mark of the season is what will we see from Laine? And I'm really rooting for him. I want to see him get back to what we saw in the first few seasons for him, because he does have elite talent. He's got a great shot, maybe one of the best shots in the league right now. This is a guy who over the first 4 years or so of his career, he was averaging over 30 goals a season. So, I mean, if he could score 30 goals this year for the Jackets, that would be fantastic, because we don't have many other guys on the team who could score 30 goals. So, yeah, and I think, you know, obviously last year was a difficult year for him, you know, moving to a new city in a different country, being away from home, being kind of having to be shut in because of the COVID protocols, you know, maybe not fitting in with the locker room. So hopefully, he's just in a better place this season. A coaching staff that might be more accommodating of him, or might be more comfortable with the new coaches, especially the assistants. And I am encouraged by the fact that he stuck around in Columbus for a few weeks after the season ended. He was working with the training staff to find out from them what he needed to do to get better. You know, he's given interviews that have talked about his struggles here, but he sounds very motivated to do better. I think he knows that he's capable of doing better. I think it's going to light a fire under him to do better. And, you know, whether it means that he gets traded or whether it means that he commits here long term, I think either way, it's going to help the Blue Jackets. Either they get a better package for him or they get this elite forward that they can build around, you know, just like they're building around Werenski on the back end now that he signed long term. You know, I think that, and so this is kind of going into then obviously the number one pick was Werenski. And I think it's appropriate that these two are the top two on the list, because these are two players who, despite not being 25 yet, are already well established as NHL players and are justifiably considered stars in the league. And these are elite talents at their positions in the league. And it's, you know, I think as Jackets fans, we should be very pleased with the fact that we've got two such talents on our team that are, and here are the two best players on the team, perhaps, or two best talents on the team and they're both under 25. So if you're looking at a long-term build, these guys are still part of that build, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, with Werenski, you know, that was huge for him to say, I want to be in Columbus, because a lot of us thought he was out the door as soon as he could be. And I think he even said he saw the draft and the moves that were being made and was like, I want to be here.
Yeah.
And I think that just kind of came out of nowhere almost. I just remember seeing that. And I was like, holy crap, did that really just happen? So that's what you talked about, going back to the spring and, you know, how are they going to make Columbus maybe a more desirable attraction for players, not just free agents, but players in Columbus already, to make them want to stay. So glad that we were able to make that they were able to come to an agreement with a guy like Werenski to help. I don't know if I would say to make the rebuild go faster, but it can only help in terms of having a huge block by Werenski filled. And also, I have a question for you. So obviously the best case scenario, I would say, would be Patrick Laine, of course, plays like a star. But I guess what's more valuable in your opinion? And I guess it's tough to answer this, I know, but I'm just going to pose the question. Do you think Columbus as is would be better off if, let's say, Patrick Laine did have a huge season and scored 30 or more goals? Or do you think they would be better off if he had a huge year, but they traded him to get even more parts back to help fill other needs? I know it's really tough, but there's so many ifs and ands.
I guess it depends on whether at this point you feel it's more important to get quality or quantity in a trade. So I think that you would, with Laine, you'd be looking for a number of pieces, multiple first round picks, multiple prospects, things like that. Something like the what we got in the Seth Jones trade, which again, I think it would be helpful for the build, but at the same time, that is, you know, I feel it pushes the window back a year or so, because you have to wait for those pieces to develop. You're not necessarily getting pieces that help you now. So that makes, maybe makes the team less good in 2022. But if you have to move Laine that year, I think because we have enough. I like the pieces that we've added this summer, so I feel like we can be competitive sooner if we keep Laine around and he is the Laine that we think that he can be. What do you think?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, too, that when it comes to prospects, top prospects even, draft picks, whatever, it's kind of an unknown anyway, and we've seen Columbus draft high in the past, and now maybe looking back on some of these drafts or whatever, maybe we would have thought, okay, why would you draft him anyways? But if you get Laine and you get him back to what we've seen him do before, that's huge. I mean, if he could be the 30-plus goal scorer, Columbus needs offense anyway, and to trade away a Laine for maybe a lottery pick or lottery picks that may or may not be... they may not turn into what you would have hoped. It could look bad. That could be another trade that we look back on. It's like, why would you let him go? We've been trying to get stars to want to stay here. Now we'll see if he does stay here. But if there's that potential of him playing really well and he wants to stay in Columbus, that's finally something to build, you know, build towards, keep building towards, and say, hey, we got Werenski to stay. We got Laine potentially wants to stay here. So, I think it will, of course, we'll see how this all plays out throughout this season, but obviously, first step is you want to see Laine get off to a good start.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point there, that if Laine could stick around, that would help to further silence that narrative about players not wanting to stay here, because that would be yet another star player saying, I see what's going on here, and I want to be a part of it, which is what Werenski said. It was good that you brought that up, that with Werenski, it wasn't just that, like, oh, hey, I'm happy in Columbus or whatever. It was, I wasn't sure. I watched what Yarmo did around the draft, and I said, hey, okay, I like that plan, and I want to be a part of that. And I think that's really important, that because, again, it wasn't necessarily the city that players weren't committing to. It's, you know, guys like Dubois and Jones weren't clear on what the team's plan was for building long-term, you know? But now things look better for how they're building long term, and Werenski wanted to be a part of that. Maybe Laine can be a part of that as well. You know, obviously Bjorkstrand already signed long term. Who knows what happens with the goalies? But Elvis certainly sounds like a guy that wants to be here long term. And so then I think that that would send a message then to players around the league of, all right, this is that core. They're good. They want to stick around. Do you want to be a part of that as well? So I hope that's the direction that we go in. But yeah, a lot of it depends on whether Laine can finally get things together.
I think he will. I mean, I feel like the odds are in his favor because, you know, he's got, we're kind of past last year. He had the offseason. He had a chance to maybe feel more comfortable or just work, you know, to kind of get acquainted with the team and stuff, or we'll have that opportunity as we go forward in the training camp and everything. And, you know, Larson, you mentioned it before. Larson already said that, you know, they want to utilize him to kind of, you know, towards his strengths. Yeah. And that'll, of course, we'll see that play out, hopefully, with the way that he's used on the ice and his line mates and things like that. But I think the odds are in his favor to hopefully have that kind of season that you would hope to see from him. And also, I'll touch on it real fast, too. You mentioned it with the goaltenders, and I know Elvis is, I think, coming in very confident, but he's also got, he wants to win the Vezina. I know you put that out there, and he's coming in, I think, determined yeah. and focused, you know, with Matisse on his mind, of course, but I know he's coming in with his typical purpose of, you know, of a new season, but he's also got that with Kivlenyks on his heart, on his mind. So I'm very curious to see what kind of start and season a guy like Elvis has.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up as well. And not only is Matisse in his heart, also going to be on his helmet now. I don't know if you saw that his new helmet design was released this week. He's going to have that Joker design on the side like Matisse had, and he's going to have the number 80 with angel wings on his neck protector. Yeah, that was a really good interview that Aaron Portzline had with him. I feel like Elvis has a really good attitude coming into the season. You know, I wasn't sure what his mental state would be, but it feels like he is channeling his grief in a helpful way. You know, he's using it as motivation rather than some kind of burden that he's carrying. I was also glad to see that, you know, obviously, you know, the team had mentioned that they were, you know, providing mental health resources for anyone in the organization who needed it. And, you know, Elvis was open by the fact that he has taken advantage of that. And I think it's important for, you know, a player in that public position to be willing to speak openly about his mental health and about getting help when you need it. I think that's important that we destigmatize that. If you're struggling with something, it's good to get help and to talk to someone about it. So hopefully he continues to do that, because there's going to be, you know, ups and downs in the season. And sometimes, you know, with grief like that, you get over it short term, but sometimes 6 months, a year down the line, it can hit you when you don't expect it. So, but I think that, yeah, getting back into the hockey season will be a good distraction for him. And I think he will be motivated by playing for Matisse, by playing for his new son now as well. And I love that attitude of him wanting to win a Vezina. It's great. How can you not love Elvis Merzlikins right now? He's just got such a good personality, such a good attitude. And, you know, hopefully he can finally put together a full season on the ice. You know, he's been inconsistent his first 2 years in Columbus for any number of reasons, but when he is at his best, he can be a real game changing goalie. And I think for a team like this, with a lot of question marks, with a lot of youth and inexperience, it'd be nice to have a goalie that can steal some games, you know, and I think he can keep this team from being bad. I think he can help. He can make this team competitive on his own.
Yeah, definitely. So lots of interesting storylines to play out as, like we said before, preseason is just around the corner, training camp, all of that fun, and the season is a month away, so it's going to come here fast, I know that, and that will do it for us this week. Be sure to check us out at CBJ Cannon on Twitter and Facebook at jacketscannon.com, and we'll see you all next week. Subscribe to the Canon Cast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you can catch every episode. Leave us a review and a rating, and as always, we welcome your thoughts and feedback. Go to jacketscanon.com for more Blue Jackets coverage from us, and follow us on Twitter at CBJCanon. Our theme music is the song Green Eyes by Angela Pearlie and the Howling Moons. Check out angelapearlie.com for more music and show dates.